Know you not that they that run in the race all run, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, how about them Slovenes? They beat the Slovakians at hockey 3-1 the other day at Sochi. Okay, unless your last name happens to be, say, Chikada, this information may not do very much for you. But if you are of the tribe of the TV people, not recommended, but if you belong, you probably have had the Winter Olympics on in the evening as a kind of a background to family life, providing that proper competition against the family rosary. Sports is all about competition. The Corinthians certainly followed the Olympics. It took place every 2 or 3 years, just a few miles away from this city, which was known as the city between two oceans. They were nothing if not sports-minded. They loved their Olympics. And St. Paul, consummate preacher that he was, meets them on their own ground. This Lent, we're preparing for it now, I want to talk to you about man's first duty. Man, St. Ignatius says, is created to adore the Lord his God, the commandment of God, and against the false gods, the ones that claim our homage and our heart. Number one on this list has got to be modern commercial sports. Think NFL, which is worried for the moment not about winning, but winning approval from the latest lifestyle lobby people, the identity politics movement, whose recruits have to be triumphantly announced to universal applause. But before we see how this other religion replacement hurts us, sports are all about competition, and Sunday morning it's between them and church. Let's see first how sports could help us, what we would do well to borrow from them. I'm thinking a winning strategy. Remember, winning is not something, winning is everything, said a Catholic, Vince Lombardi. Winning is not a sometime thing. It is an all-time thing. The problem is that when it comes to an imperishable crown, we're slackers. We're lazy. We're losers. And thus, we have Lent. The great missionary, St. Paul, who won the world for Christ, was worried about his sports-loving converts at Corinth. Some had been pagans, and some had been Jews, and many were starting to become Protestants. You know the heresy, I'm saved. And once you're saved, you're always saved. The beauty of this is that you have to do very little. Just accept the Lord as your personal Savior and on for your life. Now, no one had thought of that heresy in the early church. It wasn't to come for centuries. But for the Corinthians, it was this idea. Just be baptized. Just have the name Christian or traditional Catholic. Just have the name and you are in the winning game. They call this perfectionism. In other words, you're already perfect because you're in Christ, and there's nothing you can do, and there's nothing you need to do in the matter of getting to heaven. St. Paul has to make these people see how easy it is to fall from grace. Have you had any experience of that? And how hard it is to make it, to win the race, to get the crown. And so he seizes two examples his audience will know about: sports and scriptures. Sports for the pagans and scriptures for the Jews. In a word, he talks about race, the race and race itself. The race for the Olympics was everything, and race, the Hebrew blood for the Jews. And for both, he says, it's not enough to be enrolled and running in the race, or, change analogies, it's not enough to be born into the chosen race. He points out the symbols of the sacraments already in the Old Testament. They all passed through the Red Sea, that's baptism, and they all drank of the rock which followed them, which was Christ, and that symbolizes Holy Communion. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. You have to make it to the finish line. You have to make it out of the desert into the promised land. Since we live in an Olympic world, let's use it, shall we, in order to devise a winning strategy this year. Then as now, sports serve as a powerful parable. For the Greeks, the number one sport was foot racing. For us, surely it is football. Picture the scene, the stadium, packed with people, the runners. They're competing. For what? For three things. First, a crown. It was either a laurel crown or a crown made out of palm boughs. Regardless, it didn't last forever. It was, St. Paul has to point out, perishable. Sooner or later, that crown is going to turn brown and then fall apart. But they were also competing for fame. Fame, then as now, tends to be of the 15-minute variety. But to have that moment, your moment in the sun, to be sung perhaps by the Greek poets, to have your name on everyone's lips, they were competing for that. And thirdly, they wanted to vanquish the foe. They wanted to know sweet victory. None of this handshake after the game was over business. The athlete often fought until death. And sometimes the victor was permitted to lead the vanquished, the loser, if he was still alive, around the arena, exhibiting him to the crowds as a captive, as a slave. And for this, you trained. This perishable crown made the athlete refrain himself from all things. None of this namby-pamby, 40 days of Lent, maybe I'll do a little something. Oh no. For 10 months, you followed a strict training program with constant practice every day and continual privations of food and of drink and of sensual pleasure. Wow! St. Paul is beating us up here. But he's not through with us. On to boxing. Back then, the pugilists bound their hands with straps so as to attach pieces of lead or of iron to them. That's the same way they prepared whips for scourging someone, our Lord. And for the same idea, to do as much damage as possible. Well, damage to whom? St. Paul says he's not shadow punching. He's not missing the target. He makes each blow count. He's fighting himself. I chastise my body, which means I beat myself black and blue. St. Paul is thinking about some sort of a personal whip, in effect, what is called in the church a discipline. See the saints on the subject. The mildest of them, Francis de Sales, says about the discipline and scourging yourself. Well, he says, 50 or 60 stripes should be enough for the devout. I chastise my body means literally in the Greek, I give myself a black eye. And why? Why all of this? Lest, preacher, take note, when I have preached to others, St. Paul is all the time saying, look at me, follow my example. When I have preached to others, that I myself should become a castaway. Out for the count. Preach here, last of all. Preach has a sense of being an announcer. An announcer, that's the word, at a sporting event. He did three things in the old Olympic Games. He proclaimed the conditions for the combat, the contest. Secondly, he announced the names of the athletes. And thirdly, he gave the names, too, of those who had been eliminated, who would not be competing. St. Paul fears that while he had announced the conditions for victory, he himself would fail to meet them and find himself no longer in the running, eliminated. If St. Paul was leery about his own lasting perseverance, his eternal destiny, what about the liberals of Corinth or of Cincinnati, for that matter, the lazy, the lagerlouts of life, content to let another Lent come and go without too much giving, or too much giving up? I'll tell you this, if you're one of those who sit at the sidelines or at the TV set and take in the action, you're a user. If you rarely give back or put in or put yourself back on a weekday in the pew, because strictly speaking you don't have to, you are already a loser. And it's not even Lent. Think it through, though. Lent is coming. So, too, the end of the games. So run that you may obtain the crown. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.